Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. It's Wednesday, it's 9 a.m., and you're listening to KMUN. Thanks, Joanne, for hosting in the morning as always, and for a fine ship report as always. It's good to be with you. This is our live call-in show where you get to call in and weigh in on the topic of the week. And you also get to hear from special guests like the one that I'm about to introduce. 503-325-0010 is the number to call if you would like to be a part of the conversation today. We always welcome your thoughts and ideas, no matter what you have to say, what you have to talk about. But today, after we speak with our guest from the Astoria School District, I thought maybe we'd have a little bit of a talk about the status of vaccinations, and then maybe a little bit of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion talk. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening. And now it's time to introduce my guest. This is Rachel Rollins from the Astoria School District, and she is organizing the Astoria Resource Fair. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, good to be here, Graham.
Good morning. Good to meet you. Thanks so much for coming on the radio to talk about your event. So the Astoria School District, along with community partners, are hosting a drive-through resource fair for Astoria School District students and families. So items like shoes, socks, books, and hygiene products will be given out. And tell us a little bit more about the Astoria Resource Fair, Rachel.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We've had a lot of help from community partners and our school district to kind of have this come together. It all started this year as I've been calling home to families and just hearing of the need that families have. I thought we got to do something more. And then this idea of the resource fair kind of came out of it.
Great. And so the concept is, this is just a place where folks can get stuff that they need if it might be a little bit out of reach for them.
Yeah. So we put out a kind of a mass media to families in Astoria School District, getting the word out about what we wanted to do and having them send requests in of needs that they had. And so we've compiled over 110 students from K through 12 that we're going to be helping through this resource fair, and possibly a few day of drop-in people that also need help.
Great. I'm interested to know how long the school district has been doing the resource fair, and how did you get involved?
Yeah, this is the first year, but it kind of came out of my work with the Assistance League here in Clatsop County. I work with them every year doing Operation School Bell, which closed hundreds of kids throughout Clatsop County, and the schools work with that to facilitate that. So as I was working with this program, that's kind of when some of the other needs started coming up. And actually, the Assistance League is one of our partners in this resource fair, funding a lot of the shoes, which for 110 students is a lot of cash there. So
I'm not familiar with the Assistance League. Can you give me a little more information about that? That's the Assistance League of the Columbia Pacific, right?
Yeah, so the Assistance League is actually a national organization, but we have our own chapter here. Mm-hmm. Each of our schools have heads of school that work with us to identify needs. One of their biggest programs is clothing students, but they also do outreach, and they have scholarship funds to help students with things like athletic shoes so they can participate in sports, and also like enrichment opportunities and cultural opportunities for students that might not otherwise have that. So it's a really great program. They do fundraisers, and they do work all year long to be able to do these programs. So.
And the Assistance League, you said there's a chapter here locally, so we must have some volunteers in the community that are involved with that?
Yeah, we have lots of volunteers. Ramona Hunter is one of them. Teresa Turner is my head of schools that I work with. So, yeah, each of the schools would have a different one, even throughout like Seaside, Warrington, the different schools. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And aside from the Assistance League, are there other community partners that have helped out with this project?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, you know, this is kind of a leap of faith to just say, hey, we're gonna do this no matter what, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have to give credit to our superintendent, Mr. Hoppus, and my principal, because I put in a proposal and they didn't even know much about it, but they were like, yes, if kids need this, we're gonna make it happen no matter what. And I put the word out, and I like to call them helpers, you mm-hmm. know, helpers kind of emerge of people that want to help. And so I started working with my engagement team here. And one of the members of my engagement team, Candace Chapman, has some connections with Fred Meyer, and we reached out to them, and they were able to, within a week, gather all the shoes and sizes and work at a discounted rate for us to get all those shoes and socks. So that was awesome. Also the American Legion Ladies Auxiliary, they heard about what we were doing, and gosh, I gotta say, this organization is super on top of it, because they had it organized and they had a check to me like within days to help with the hygiene product. So it's pretty cool.
Great.
There's a few others. Hampton Lumber, Ingham Marine, possibly Costco, Senior Center, Fire Department donating masks. So there's a lot of pieces and a lot of people helping with us.
And so if someone's listening that could use some resources, you want to remind them how to take advantage of the opportunity?
It's going to be May 15th at CMH Field. So families will just drive through. It'll be 1 to 4. And of course, we're in COVID, so wear masks. And going to have social distancing and make sure we can minimize any, you know, transmission.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because you brought up immunizations.
Mm-hmm.
So the health department also heard about this resource fair, and they reached out to me wanting to partner with us. So they actually are going to have an event that same day, May 15th, at the fairgrounds, where they're going to be immunizing 16 and up. So our idea is to be able to just get information into families' hands. And mm-hmm. hey, if they want to, they can kind of hit both events at once. They will register through the health department. But it's just kind of cool how word gets around and we can make things more, you know, easier and accessible for families.
Well, we love hearing about community partnerships here at the radio station. So if you are able to go to CMH Field on May 15 from 1 to 4 p.m., you can participate in this. And so you don't need to sign up. You just show up and you...
people probably would have signed up before and made a request to make sure they had the shoes and, mm-hmm. you know, right size and everything. But if you somehow missed it and you need some stuff, we're going to have some extra stuff there, and we can always work with counselors at the schools to get you what you need.
And you plan on doing this next year as well, right?
Well, I guess we'll see how this year goes, but
I'm sure it'll be a success.
Yeah, it's an exciting prospect, but yeah, first time, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, if you missed the opportunity to fill out the request form for shoes and things, there's always next year. So be supportive of this opportunity, and we can keep it going. Let's see. Trying to think if I have any other questions for you. Is there anything else that folks should know about the Astoria Resource Fair?
Well, one thing I thought of too is kind of cool. So Charlotte Robinson, she's a teacher here in the district, runs what we call the Book Buggy. And she has her own program where she tries to get books into kids' hands. And she was one of the first volunteers to be part of this resource fair and make sure every kid's going home with a book at their kind of age level. And they'll also get application for a free our library application. So students can, hey, it's free for kids, the school age kids. They can go to the library and get an account and check out books all summer.
So if there was someone who wanted to get a hold of you about potentially helping participate in next year or something, is there some contact info you can give?
Yeah, so I'm at Astoria Middle School. You can call me here at 503-325-4331. All of our websites have our email contact for the different counselors at the building. So either way, you can email me or you can give a call.
And so your role is at Astoria Middle School and you're a counselor, is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
How long have you been at the middle school?
I've been at the middle school. This is going on my third year. And then I was at the high school at their alternative school for several years.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of neat to be able to work in both areas because you get to know those different systems and kind of feel like I have a idea of what the high school is, sending my eighth graders up there.
Right.
Yeah. Middle school or counselors is a really interesting job and fun job. They keep me on my toes. We laugh a lot here.
That's an exciting age.
Yes, it is.
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, and we've got great families here too. Like so many kids and families that are like here in Astoria makes the job really easy.
Isn't that the truth? That's great. Well, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Rachel Rollins from Astoria Middle School, and she's here to tell us about May 15's Astoria Resource Fair. And so that's from 1 to 4 p.m. at CMH Field. And this is a Astoria School District project along with community partners. And it's offering items like shoes, socks, books, and hygiene products for any student who could use the support. Rachel, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Rachel. And if you missed that contact info, you can find email addresses at the Astoria School District website, or you can find Rachel at the middle school by calling 503-325-4321. I'm going to take a quick break to reframe, and then we'll get into the conversation. Thanks for tuning in today. Welcome back to the conversation. My name's Graham. This is our live call-in show, and it's time for you to call in. I thought we would start off with an icebreaker, as is our tradition. And I wanted to do an icebreaker about technology today. I'm curious if anyone has any particularly good or particularly bad relationships with technology. Is there something that stands out to you as completely unnecessary and we've gone too far? Or is there something that just screams to you, this is incredible what inventive humans are capable of creating in the realm of technology. 503-325-0010. That's our icebreaker. Let's get these phone lines warmed up. It's been a while since I've heard from you. Maybe I've never heard from you. Maybe today is the time that you are a first-time caller to the conversation. What's a piece of technology that you think is incredibly admirable and amazing, or perhaps one that you think is just plain overkill? Does your refrigerator need Wi-Fi? That's what I'm getting at there. 503-325-0010. Three empty phone lines. Don't make me do the Jeopardy theme while I wait for your call. I'm not the best a cappella singer in the world. Technology. Name one incredible invention or one incredibly useless invention. Your hand is on the receiver. You're dialing your cell phone. 503-325-0010. 325-0010. This is not a threat, but if no one is listening and no one is calling, then maybe we'll just go to music for the rest of the hour? It's not a threat. I see some phone lines lighting up, but for some reason my phone isn't ringing. Uh-oh. Well, maybe I do need to go to some music so I can figure out why the phone patch isn't working. I'm not going to pretend to know what's going on with the phones, but I think we've got Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Oh, good morning, Graham. Great to hear you back. Anyhow, you're asking about over-the-top technology.
Yeah.
And boy, I just had an experience yesterday. My email capacity was wiped out, totally wiped out. I spent 7 hours trying to get it back up, and I haven't yet check to see if I can send and receive. But Windows 10, I think, is a curse. I really do. They designed it for, you know, like big business applications and so forth. It's so far over the top for the ordinary user. It's very frustrating. I have no idea what really happened. Why my email capability was just wiped out. I have no idea, and no one has been able to explain it so far. I've talked to many technicians from Microsoft Tech to the local provider, and they have no idea what the hell happened, and they're still trying to fix it. I haven't turned on my computer yet. But we'll see. But I think that Microsoft 10 is the worst thing that has happened to the user without a degree in technical experience.
Well, if you were one of the lucky ones who managed to miss Windows ME, was that Windows Millennia or something? That was a tough one. That was like between Windows 7 and Windows 8 or something. Or maybe,
yeah,
it was between
Windows
XP 7 and 7.
Perfect.
7 Windows did a good 7. Job. Yeah.
It was perfect. And I never had any problem. I'm calling Microsoft tech support twice a week now. Because of some funny thing they do. They keep setting up my computer like they own my computer.
Interesting. Right. Yeah. I think the OS is like a cloud-based operating system almost, where you don't really, you know, they don't send you a CD like they used to.
Well, anyhow, I'm trying to work through it, but I heard the topic, and I just, boy, it just was right there for me today. Like I said, we probably spent 7 hours or more
Jeez.
Trying to figure out what had happened to my computer.
Well, thanks for checking in, Paul, and call back once we keep moving with the conversation, okay?
Okay, you take care.
You too, bye-bye.
Good to hear you.
You too.
You take care.
We've got another caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. This is Larkin.
Hello, Larkin.
And I don't have a statement, I suppose, about the benefits of technology, but I have a similar kind of feeling about it that I used to say that technology has outstripped morality. And what happened for me was, as a musician, composer, recording artist, I noticed when I was doing street fairs trying to sell my recordings, people would come up after I had, you know, done one year, come up the second year, and they would say, "Oh, don't buy that one. I've got it. I'll make a copy for you. Let's get this one, and you can make a copy for me."
And so much for supporting the artist.
And want to go, "Hey, why don't you just reach into my pocket and take $10 out of my pocket?" And it was just amazing how people could just so blithely slip into not acknowledging the wrong that they were doing with the technology. So that's my two cents for this morning.
You know, it brings up an interesting point about the benefits of recorded music, the benefits and the non-benefits. Thanks for the call, Larkin.
You have a great day.
You too. And good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. You know, I've never called in before. My name is Eva. And I learned something the other day. I'm not sure if this is really addressing what you're asking for, but Microsoft filed a patent last March where they can mine any data from the users of computers, which means I can even get the number of that patent. I was driving my car, so I couldn't do it right then.
Mm-hmm.
But this gives them the right that us as the user, if we're sitting in front of our computer, it can access the radiation from our body and take any data from, I mean, it's really scary. And I don't know why I haven't read about it before, but this came out just right at the time of the pandemic. And so anyway, I was reading an article about that, and I think that is completely over the top. It's like we've given our lives over to it.
Yeah, this is one where we really don't know where it's headed.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes me, and we're kind of trapped because, I mean, I have a business and, you know, I need computers, and I feel kind of like between a rock and a hard place until, but maybe I'm getting closer to retirement. Maybe one day I'll just decide to walk away from it all, get rid of my cell phone and forget the computer and just be in my garden. I don't know.
Yeah, it's easy to long for a utopian pastoral life when we're always in the web of the Wi-Fi, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it is robbing us of our lives, and they are addictive. They have an amazing upside, of course. But yeah, when is it all too much? I mean, I think it's way beyond too much, actually. And I don't know, how do you reel it in? How do you reel it in with these technology giants? And I don't know. And I suppose they are trying to do something in Congress and whatever, but something absolutely needs to be done. And I think that we should be able to, at the very least, when it comes to this patent, for them to be able to mine personal data from our bodies, I think that we have a right to either agree or not to have that happen. Sitting just in front of our computers or our phone, I just don't think that should be consent.
Yeah, it's hard to spend too much time thinking about it, because the more you do, the darker the outlook gets.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes just not knowing things is, you know, ignorance is bliss, except that it isn't really, because then what happens? You know,
yeah,
what,
totally.
What, where does it all go if we are uninformed?
Yeah.
So I thank you for letting me just get that off my chest. I've been really bothered about it for a few days.
Well, I'm glad you shared. Thanks for calling. You said this was your first time calling, right?
Right.
Well, call back anytime.
Okay, I will. Thank you, Graham.
Take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning. I'm also a first-time caller.
Welcome, welcome.
My name's Erin, and I'm a scientist by training. And I have a different take on a lot of things, but I'm really excited about biotechnology and a technology called CRISPR, C-R-S-P-R. It's a new technology that does look at DNA editing. And in 2019, we have now been able to cure sickle cell type blood disorders in people. So that's really a blessing to a lot of people that have that rare disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very excited about the possibilities. I'm not one to really be so concerned about people abusing it for negative and nefarious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more looking to the scientists and doctors that really care about patients and have researched it extensively in order to be able to provide an unmet medical need. So that's my excitement about technology.
Awesome. It's nice to look at things through that positive lens. And know
yes,
that there
I
are
agree.
good people out there doing good work to help folks out.
Yes.
It's not all nefarious Mark Zuckerbergs of the world mining our personal data.
Right, right. That's I think important to know is that as a scientist, it's often hard to hear my colleagues be criticized, and, you know, they often don't have stock in things. I've never owned a biotech stock in my life, but I've worked for companies, and it was considered, again, unethical to have stock in the company because you wanted to be pure in your scientific pursuits and just do the best science you could, and if it could be marketed later. That's wonderful.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting thing to have to set the prospect of financial profit aside for your research.
Right. So anyway, I know there are many sides to this, but I just wanted to share mine.
So since you're in sort of the biotech realm, how are you feeling about the progress of vaccinations?
I think it's wonderful that we have three emergency use authorized COVID-19 vaccines in our country, two based on mRNA technology and one based on an adenovirus technology. Again, in my understanding and my view and what I've read, these are long-term technologies that have been developed. And again, for the mRNA technology, it's been in development for 20 years. So yes, this is the first FDA-approved therapy for, you know, a COVID-19 vaccine, but it doesn't mean that it's a new technology that is unresearched. So that's my stance.
It just got aggressively fast-tracked a year ago.
It was because we just got the exact spike protein sequence in January. So once you have the exact DNA sequence, you can plug that into an existing technology system that has been well developed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is done a lot in vaccine research. So this is, again, I say it's nothing new. The exact coronavirus was novel, but the technology is not new.
And is it your understanding that the vaccine is one and done, or is this going to end up being an annual thing or a recurring thing or booster shots?
I think it's too early to tell that because we also have the human behavior. We also have the fact that mutants are spreading that will evade the current mRNA vaccines or even the adenovirus-based vaccines we do have because, you know, we will lose the antibodies that are specific to the strains that these were developed against. So I think we have to wait and see.
Patience, eh?
Yes, patience. No. And, you know, vaccines are not a cure-all. They are one technology in addition to good public health practices, social distancing, wearing your mask, washing your hands, avoiding crowds, being with people that are already vaccinated and are not showing symptoms and being sick, just kind of using common sense. And if you want to get vaccinated, you know, there is good peer-reviewed data out there that you can read for yourself and have that as an option in your arsenal of protecting yourself against coronavirus.
Looking into your crystal ball, do you see what they call herd immunity on the horizon, or do you think that we will be doing the mask and social distancing thing for a long time yet?
I do think community immunity is going to happen whether people get vaccinated or not, especially because we are a huge world. And as we see poor countries and developing countries having these horrible outbreaks where they don't have the public health infrastructure, they're going to reach herd immunity faster because so many people are going to get it. And then, you know, the more people that get it, the more people that have antibodies. But here in our country, we have the unique opportunity to have a vaccine that's effective and safe. And we could achieve that, but I don't think the population is comfortable with it. And we have a lot of people that are not getting the vaccine. So I don't think community immunity is possible in our country through vaccinations. But it would be if people adopted it. It could be very effective. Just a sec, sweetie. I'm talking on the radio. So, sorry, I have a little guy here who would like trick or treat.
Well, if he has something to add to the conversation, he's welcome.
Well, thanks, Graham.
Yeah, thanks for your thoughts.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
And someone's been waiting patiently online. Good morning.
Good morning. What a wonderful conversation.
Oh, glad you are enjoying it.
I'm sorry, I've lost you. I lost you since you moved from Friday, so I haven't been calling in.
Well, you found me.
Anyway, good morning, and I have been a technology worker for probably the last 20 years, maybe even longer, so I'm always astonished at the pace of technology, and biotechnology is seems to be our frontier right now, which is wonderful. More on the I was calling about the streaming services like Roku, and I don't even understand it all completely, but how you're able to turn your television into internet viewing and how internet viewing changes how we live in the world or can live in the world, how we can become more and more informed. I have to plug something that's kind of astonishing. I think a film that was on HBO Max, and also a note that the Oscars came up with a lot of nominations from Netflix, a streaming service. So
that's new, isn't it?
Yeah, so streaming services are becoming the future of television, perhaps, or our viewing, our form of information. But on HBO Max in particular, and I was surprised to see this discussed yesterday in Democracy Now, is a film called Exterminate the Brutes, which is essentially the history of white supremacy across the world and how indigenous people have been exterminated for profit all over the world and all throughout history. And it's not unique to us. It's not unique to any particular country. It is the human condition. I'm taking a class with Seth Tischner right now, and we're studying Hobbes and how brutish men are. And here it is, the extermination of indigenous peoples. So I encourage everybody to take a look at that. I also want to plug Zoom technology. I am just enthralled with it. Hmm. And I know that kids are, you know, our kids are the true pioneers of technology right now, having to go through school the first time in history on media and on Zoom and, yeah. and be expected to learn when none of us have ever done this before. So we need to applaud those little heroes in front of desktop computers actually doing all this amazing learning, or at least trying and perhaps crying their hearts out. So we need to make sure that we support those little brains. But I am enthralled with Zoom technology. I love the proximity to the teacher. I mean, never, you know, if you're sitting in the back row in a classroom, you can't hear or see very well mm-hmm. and can easily get distracted. But with this live, this big face looking back at you on your monitor, it's almost like Big Brother watching you.
But in a good way?
But in a good way. Big Brother is informing you, and you can interact, and you can be muted. And so I watched the inauguration, and it was all done via this Zoom technology or whatever they're calling that particular GoToMeeting or whatever it was mm-hmm. that they used. But it's astonishing the way we have stepped up in this time of quarantining and distancing, and so the human race is. Taken technology and turned it on its head, and I just wanted to applaud all of us for putting up with it and learning how to use it differently. And I hope that we find some way of communicating. You know, it's difficult for us older folks to adopt this kind of technology, and it's hard when you're kind of locked away and lonely. To have to reach out to technology to bring people closer, but it is a way, and I hope that folks have found it useful.
Yeah, it's been an interesting blessing for the station, because I think that physical distance has been a barrier for certain things in the past. And so if, for example, someone in Tillamook County wanted to be on the board of directors, the hour and a half drive would have been a real detractor to that opportunity. But if someone can join the meetings by Zoom, that means they can participate when they couldn't before. So it's not only, you know, we're getting benefits out of this that aren't necessarily just out of the necessity of it, but there's aspects of it that we will probably continue to use and benefit from. So that adaptability that you're talking about is extraordinary.
Yes.
And I agree with you, those kids at the screens, what a tough way to do it. And I certainly grew up hearing about the necessity of interaction, you know, and physical interaction and socialization. But it's also put a really interesting lens on the students who actually thrive in this format. And so then it also puts that lens on the ways that they struggled in-person learning, and that there will be people that thrive in that environment too. And maybe the best thing is that we can serve everybody
yes.
as well as possible, you know, using, sorry, I'm getting distracted here.
No, that's okay.
We had another call coming in.
Yay. Well, that's all I had to offer today, but I think it bodes. I don't know what it says about our future, but you know, all of this is going to get incorporated into our future. So, hooray for technology!
Yeah, it's a bit of a turning point.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye. And good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning. So I just want to say one thing about getting Zoom on your computer. I just ended up calling the Apple support for my computer for both GoToMeeting and Zoom. I could not do it, and, you know, they were nice about it. And for people that are not experienced, just call.
And so they got you all set up and everything's working now?
Yes.
That's great.
And, you know, I'm in Jewel a lot, and so I really appreciate being able to attend meetings without going into Astoria. And I hope that it can go forward. If I'm just going to pay the fee for Zoom for some of these meetings that will most people want to meet in person, and I won't always want to. So.
Well, thanks for your words of encouragement there for folks to stick to it if they're having trouble, and to, don't be afraid to call for help. That's what tech support is for.
And I wanted to bring up, and that you started the conversation talking about smart appliances and everything.
Right.
And then got on to the streaming of TV mm-hmm. with all the things through your Wi-Fi signal. And I get paranoid about those signals going through me. I knew somebody who could feel them, and he had a hard time, and he had to be hardwired into his computer and stuff. I mean, that the computer was, you know, actually a line into the phone jack or however, or to the modem or whatever.
Right.
And because he could feel them. And there was a big discussion once about the electric meters in Astoria going to 5G
mm-hmm.
and the possible health problems of a 5G signal going through you. And it's, I think, a very short-lived range for 5G, so there's lots of boosters on it. Do you mm-hmm. know about this?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it because radio frequencies are the same thing, just in a different spectrum. And what I know about it is that the frequency spectrum is packed. It's packed full of frequencies. And so the Wi-Fi operates on one frequency, FM radio on another, AM radio on another. City, police, Coast Guard, everybody's got their own band of frequencies, and they're all chock full, and that's, you know, that's the reality, and you can't really get away from it.
Aren't they talking to each other, like your Wi-Fi is going to your computer or your cell phone? I mean, I know with the cell phone, it's better to use an ear thing and not hold it to your ear
mm-hmm.
and not have it in your front pocket, your cell phone in your front pocket where the signal is going through your abdomen. I mean, there have been a lot of discussions about how to safely have your cell phone so the signals don't go through into your brain or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's, there's nothing wrong with taking precautions and being aware. But I'm also just not really an alarmist about it because I think that the food that we eat or the drink that we drink, you know, there's a lot of different variables that are impacting our health. And EMF or radio frequency signals are one of them. But is it the biggest one? You know, is it the one to spend your days worrying about? I'm on the fence about that personally. That's just my opinion.
Well, I just try not to be in line, and is it the modem from the Wi-Fi signal that'll talk to the smart TV?
Right.
You call it the modem.
Mm-hmm.
But that signal is going from the modem to the TV, and if I'm in line with that, it would be going through me, by me, but if I'm not in line with it, it's not doing that. Isn't that right?
No, it's an omnidirectional antenna. And so it's not like an invisible wire between your modem and the TV. It's it's a sphere, you know, and so anything in the range can connect to it.
Off the modem.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so the modem receives the internet, and then typically some modems have a Wi-Fi router in them, and sometimes you have a second thing that does the Wi-Fi piece of it. Yeah, I think it's good to take a precaution, and I think it's just really good to do whatever it takes for you to feel good about it. Because I think that your thought processes can be just as significant to your health as any actual physical processes that are.
Well, except for food. I mean, I have a very sensitive body, and if I eat the wrong food, boy, my body tells me. So I walk a fine line because, and I'm getting old, and it's gotten much worse as I get older and more fragile. So I just, you know, I'm very careful with food. And as I say, my body tells me for sure. So,
and that's great, and it's great to listen to your body.
Yes.
I think my point is, if I were to, for example, have a glass of wine a night, and on one hand I could really enjoy it, or on the other hand I could say, man, this one glass of wine is gonna be the death of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not the wine, it's the attitude. And that's a very simplified example, but it's like the placebo effect, I guess. You know, if you have belief that something's harmful, it has a lot better chance of being harmful. It's a touchy subject. I don't want to say too much or put my foot in my mouth.
Yes, it is very complicated, and every single body is very unique, and how it reacts is very unique.
True.
But food has been really manipulated at the same time. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's good to listen to your body and do what feels right and feels good to you.
So here's for home gardening.
Absolutely.
So you can create the food you want. Anyway, I'll let you go. Thank you.
Permaculture all around. Thanks for the call.
Yes.
Good morning.
Bye-bye.
If you're just joining us, this is The Conversation on KMUN. My name's Graham. I'm your host. This is our live local call-in show. We've got empty phone lines, so if something's on your mind, give us a ring. We had a little bit of an icebreaker about technology and your thoughts on either a really amazing piece of technology or an over-the-top, unnecessary piece of technology. But I'd like to shift gears a little bit. We talked a little bit about vaccinations, and I wonder if anyone has any questions about vaccines. I haven't been doing as much research as I should, but what I do know is that you're considered fully vaccinated 2 weeks after your second dose in a two-dose series, like the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines, or 2 weeks after a single-dose vaccine, like the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And so if you have not met those requirements, you are not fully vaccinated, which means you want to keep taking all precautions until you're fully vaccinated. If you've been fully vaccinated, you can gather indoors with fully vaccinated people without wearing a mask or staying 6 feet apart. So if you want to know more about what's safe before and after your vaccines, go to cdc.gov, and they've got some good information there. And then let's switch gears one more time. I thought we'd do a few minutes on some diversity, equity, and inclusion type content. And in particular, something that's referred to as bystander intervention. So this is something that you may have the opportunity to engage in as we move forward, as we keep doing this work, this diversity, equity, and inclusion work. I want to direct you to a website called Holla Back. You can visit ihollaback.org. That's the letter I, HOLLABACK.org, for lots of great resources. And today I was going to look at bystander intervention. And so this is how you can do your part to protect your neighbors and coworkers when bias or harassment collide in front of you. The Holla Back has 5 D's, and that is distract, delegate, document, delay, and direct. So if you see someone who's being harassed, one great way to hopefully de-escalate the situation is to engage with the person that you see being harassed. You could ask them what time it is. You could pretend to know them and just start talking about something random. But it sort of creates a distraction. You could accidentally, on purpose, spill your coffee or make some sort of a commotion. And hopefully the person who's being targeted by harassment will catch on. And by doing that, you will help de-escalate the situation. So that's distracting. And you're not distracting the person doing the harassing. You're going to the person who's the potential victim of harassment. Another D is delegate. You can get help from someone else. So if you are at the market or if you're near a school, talk to a teacher and say, I think someone's being harassed. If you're on the bus, you could talk to the bus driver. And you can delegate that responsibility to intervene if you don't feel comfortable. The third D is document. It can be very helpful to have a video of the incident. There are laws about recording in public, so you'll want to be conscious of that. But just think what would have happened if that young woman hadn't filmed the murder of George Floyd last year. Document. The fourth D is delay. Once the incident is over, just go check in with the person. See if there's anything they need. Ask them if they're okay. Tell them you're sorry that happened. Offer them support. Offer to accompany them to their destination or sit with them for a while. And then finally, direct. Speak up about the harassment. Be firm and clear. But always assess your own safety first. One way to directly respond to harassment is by naming what's happening or confronting the harasser. This tactic can be risky. The harasser may redirect their abuse towards you and may escalate the situation. And so before you decide to respond directly, assess the situation. Are you physically safe? Is the person being harassed physically safe? Does it seem unlikely that the situation will escalate? Can you tell if the person being harassed wants someone to speak up? If you can answer yes to these questions, you might choose this potentially most invasive direct response. So again, if you witness someone being harassed, this could be in a store or in a street or at school or at work, consider responding as a bystander, either with distraction or delegation, documentation, delay, or direct intervention. I wonder if there's anyone who has been doing any DEI work in their workplace. The radio station has been doing its best to educate itself, become aware, help educate others about diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's kind of a big deal. It's one of the other turning points that's happening right now. 503-325-0010 is the number to call if you'd like to chat about bystander intervention. Did you see any of the Black Lives Matters protests that happened here or in Portland or in Seaside? There were definitely some opportunities for bystander intervention. But it can be a little scary. And that's why this list is nice, because it gives you some options. You don't need to directly engage. But the nice thing about it is that this can potentially prevent it from happening again. You can give other people courage to intervene as well. If someone sees you doing it, the next time they see someone being harassed, they might feel more empowered to speak up because they saw you doing so on someone else's behalf. Getting towards the top of the hour. Three empty phone lines if you want to check in. 503-325-0010. Maybe now's a good time to say once again how much we all appreciate everyone's contributions during the Spring Pledge Drive this year. So many businesses have struggled in the past year, and including ours. And so it's just so reassuring and heartwarming to know that community support for the station remains strong, even in a difficult time. Don't worry, we'll do it again in the fall. And we hope to see you then. Coming up at 10:01 is Headline News. 10:06, we've got music with Jerry Middaugh. But before we say goodbye for the day, We've got another caller who's listening to her radio really loud, and we are on a delay, so the radio needs to be turned down, and you need to listen on the phone. Good morning, Susie.
Hi, good morning. Hi, Graham. Long time no see.
Yeah, miss you.
Well, the wonders of this, you know, technology is incredible, and it's so meaningful to hear friends' voices and neighbors and this kind of discussion. Accessibility is terrific, Graham. Thank you for continuing it.
Mm.
You're getting yourself out on a limb, and you never know where you're landing.
Well, you're new to Facebook this past year, aren't you?
Well, sort of new, thanks to my daughter. But I don't really know how to do it, and I'm just learning, so I don't do very much. But
well,
anyway,
it was good to see you on there.
Browsing and looking at what other people do. But let me tell you what I was going to answer you about. You mentioned that last topic about abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very terrifying experience just yesterday, witnessing abuse, and I wasn't sure where to turn afterwards. But it wasn't toward me; it was a mother yelling at her child. And they were in a car, and I had gone to the bank. I was parked at the library in a public place, and all of a sudden I came back from checking my, you know, getting a little money, and there they were. And she was screaming at her child, who was in a car seat in the back seat of a truck, and I couldn't take it. I couldn't walk by, so I stopped, and I said, stop yelling or something. And she turned around and told me to get F you, you know. And at which point she was screaming at the child, and the child first had been screaming, and she was saying, you have to stop screaming. And I thought this was insane, so I said, stop screaming. And then she told me to get lost, and so I decided I better get away. And she says, you don't know what kind of a day I have had. This is a quote. And the next thing was, I was just sort of taken aback. I didn't know what to do for this child, you know. And I just said, calm down, and walked away. But that was all I could do. What should I do?
I think you did it. I'm sure that helped.
Well, it's intervention. That's what I did. And I know distraction is the key, like you just mentioned.
Yeah. So, distraction would have been start making faces at the baby and try to make it laugh through the back window or something.
I could never see the child.
Oh.
Because she had her back to me, and the child was over in the back seat of a car, you know, car seat. But I was horrified. I mean, that poor kid, you know. That's all I could say. I don't know what their problem was or anything, and I thought, well, now what should I do, you know? I felt, you know, ineffective. I felt like that poor child needed some help.
Well, I'm glad you intervened, and keep up the good work there, Susie.
Well, you know, I mean, it's bad when you're in a grocery store and you see a kid having a meltdown, and you don't know what the story is or why that person is having a fit. But, you know, there's just times where, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock at night when people are tired and they just can't handle being, you know, told what to do, and they rebel, and children are human. You know, we're all human. So I asked her to please stop for a minute, you know, and she just wouldn't hear it. So I felt very ineffective. I felt like, am I supposed to go get a cop, or is this child going to get hurt? You know, all these things came to my mind. And
I think it was good, Susie. I think that you gave her the opportunity to look at herself, whether she was ready to or not, but I'm sure she reflected on it.
Hopefully. Yeah, I don't know who they were, and I didn't even see. Like I said, I couldn't see, make eye contact with either of them.
Well, hey, I'm going to try to squeeze one more call in, but thank you so much, Susie.
Have a great day,
you
and
too.
Thank you for KMUN and all you've done, Graham.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Carol Newman.
Yeah, just a quickie. What we learned about that kind of abuse, what Susie just described, I think the woman gave her a perfect opening. You don't know what kind of a day I've had. I am so sorry to hear you're having a bad day. Is there something I can do to help?
Right.
And that's what I've learned to do in a grocery store or whatever. Can I help you with that? Can I help you walk out? In other words, offer a show that you are hearing the person, because I understand the frustration and the horror and Susie jumping in. But, yeah, that really only seems to add to the feeling of being the adult. So, or of the adult. Mm-hmm. So that's just something to think about. If that happens, if you are able to step in, to step up and offer to assist, can I, whatever, watch your kid while you do something else? Or,
right.
Okay, that's all I have to say.
Well, I think that's good, and yeah, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. That's some of the training we get from the Healing Circle, VOCA, and lots of other places.
Oh, I was just going to say how hard it is to not engage at the same level for me.
Absolutely.
You know, so if someone is in a rage or yelling,
yeah,
it's so hard
right.
for me to not go to that place too, but to keep your calm center and to know that it isn't about you and maybe you can help. And
it's really hard. But if you want to help that and you have enough.
Sorry, Carol, I got to go.
Okay, bye.